Australia's epic floods are getting worse, and the economic consequences are too.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The rains continue in Queensland, Australia, and floods that have affected some 200,000 people continue their path of destruction. For more on the economic impact, let's bring in reporter Stuart Cohen in Sydney. Hi, Stuart.
Hello, Jeremy. Nice to talk to you again.
You too. Well, we're going to get to the international ramifications of this in a minute, but first, give us the latest on the floods.
Well, the waters have peaked in the city of Rockhampton, which is the last major town in the flood's path. But now, to make matters worse, believe it or not, the rain has started falling again. Forecasters are calling for several more days of rain, which could mean fresh floods in places that have already started their cleanup. And there are also reports now of hazards from poisonous snakes and crocodiles.
Oh my God. They were
flushed out of the rivers where they live by the rising floodwaters.
And Stuart, I gather the economic ramifications are going to go far beyond the borders of Australia.
Well, Australia supplies about half of the world's coking coal, which is used in the production of steel. Mark Pervin, who's the head of commodities research at the Australia-New Zealand Bank, says the floods will affect worldwide prices, but it's just too early to know exactly how much.
Well, look, it's still early days, and I think the problem we're seeing at the moment is that water levels are still rising, but this looks worse than the 2008 floods we saw a couple of years ago. Now, in terms of pricing, we've seen a mild pickup in coking coal prices and about a 10% rise in the last month. And I think, like we saw back 2 years ago, the market was a little slow to react, and then we saw quite a strong spike in prices.
And that's expected to have an effect on steel prices, which could in turn affect everything from construction to cars.
Reporter Stuart Cohen joining us from Sydney, Australia. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, we're about a half hour away from finding out how many new people filed for unemployment benefits last week. That and yesterday's good news on private sector jobs are all part of the lead up to tomorrow's big government report on December hiring. Well, imagine you're taking in all this news about the slow climb out of recession just as you're getting out of college and into the working world. If you're one of those people, St. Joseph's University sociology professor Maria Kafalas would call you Generation R, the recession generation. Kafalas has been studying members of that generation who are rich, poor, and right in the middle. And she joins us now from Philadelphia to talk about her study. Good morning.
Good morning.
Education in this country has often been touted as a ticket out of the social class you're born into. After having gone through college, do you think these kids feel some kind of faith still in the education system in the country?
Working class kids said to us, listen, we're going to be the first generation of Americans to do worse than our parents. One young woman said, I just feel burned. My friends who didn't go to college, they don't have debt, and they're making more an hour than I am.
She actually wanted to have not gone to college.
She actually said, I don't even know why I spent the money. The middle class kids were saying, it's very tough. I am filled with anxiety. I can't sleep at night, but I still believe in a college degree. I'm just going to have to work harder, and it's going to take longer. And those elite kids said, is there really a recession? It's more like it's just harder for me to get a job, and they're sitting out this recession in a lot of ways.
Generation R knows what it's like to be in terrible economic times, but they probably also remember the great times of the 90s and or at least the early and mid-2000s economically. What do they think of the difference?
I think they look at, you know, the pop culture icons like Paris Hilton, and they're sort of cringing and embarrassed.
Right.
They now talk a great deal about not wasting money. Conspicuous consumption, they say, has gone out of fashion. Then they don't want to be seen as, you know, throwing money around when their families are eating into their resources to keep them afloat, et cetera.
Well, Maria Kafalas, a professor of sociology at St. Joseph's University and one of the lead researchers working on the Generation R project, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are up this morning in Europe and Asia. Tokyo gained 1.5% today. There are reports this morning that the social networking site LinkedIn will go public this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 31 points to close at 11,722.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
New Balance is about to get a run for its money. The sneaker company faces a lawsuit that claims its toning shoes don't do the job. The suit seeks class action status for customers who believed the shoes would help them slim down from the ankles up. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
With its attractive 20-somethings showing off their sculpted legs and glutes, this New Balance ad says it all.
Burn calories and activate muscles. The toning shoe that doesn't look like one. The
True Balance New Balance claims the shoes push muscles to burn more calories because the rounded soles make walkers work harder to maintain balance. John Horan of Sporting Goods Intelligence says toning shoes are big sellers because women think they can walk their way to a fitter figure.
These companies do studies to prove the claims, but the question has come up whether these studies have any real scientific validity.
The American Council on Exercise recently found toning shoes don't perform as advertised. Webster University sports economist Pat Risch.
If New Balance is not able to defend its position, they potentially lose the trust of the segment of the population that were buying these shoes.
Working women aged 20 to 55 who've been willing to spend upwards of $100 for shoes they think can make them look better. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally to another lawsuit, a catfight of sorts. The maker of Super Scoop Kitty Litter is suing the maker of Fresh Step Kitty Litter for false advertising. The fight is about an ad that shows multiple cats rejecting a litter box filled with Super Scoop in favor of the odor-eliminating magic of Fresh Step. The lawsuit says cats do not talk, and it is widely understood in the scientific community that cat perception of malodor is materially different than human perception. I think that could be the first lawsuit in history that has to remind the court that cats do not talk. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Going home isn't always easy, especially when a good part of your life has been spent someplace else.
The German people are punctual. If you have your appointment at 10 o'clock, you will be there 2 minutes to 10. But in Turkey, they are sometimes 2 hours late.
I'm Kai Riznal. Young Turks go home next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.